Gel.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, who is that?
Tara.
Tara. Okay. And we're still waiting on Jackie.
Yeah. I'm on my
Okay.
cell phone. I did star 8 in case it cuts out. You guys should be able to continue till I can call back in.
Okay. I'm actually on my cell phone right now, so I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing today, but.
It could be my phone. I got a new phone and I've been having a lot of problems with it. So that's why I did the star 8, because I'm sure it will cut out at some point.
Nice. Okay, so then we should just be able to get back on without too much of a problem.
It should not disconnect you.
Okay, well, that's good.
If you do star 8, once the chairman disconnects, you can continue.
Oh, that's good to know. That's very good to know. Did you see my email with the abstract and Tara's response, or not Tara, sorry, Jackie's response back?
I just got it. I read through it quickly.
Okay. And I got your email about making sure we were on the same page in terms of the like category 2 and category 3 analyses. And based on what you had written, I think we were on the same page then.
Okay, so the numbers I sent last night were calculated using that.
Okay.
You got that email, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. So. So I agree with you that those numbers don't really show anything that much more fantastic. So we probably don't need to like include them explicitly in the abstract. We could maybe just talk about it in the paper in terms of different ways we've tried to look at it.
Right.
So we'll see. Did your semester start yet?
No, not until next Wednesday.
You still have some time left. How many classes are you teaching this term?
Six.
Six. God, that's a
Yeah.
lot.
I have 5 different preps.
That's a lot. Are they preps you've done before, or are some of them new?
Yes and no. Like, we have new additions for some of the classes, and they've changed the books quite a bit, so it's kind of like a new prep.
Oh, that stinks.
My statistics course, obviously, I've done before. That I have 2 sections of. So, my geometry class I did last year, but it was the first time it was offered on campus, and I really didn't like the way it went.
So you want to work on it a bit?
I'm going to start over. Yeah, I didn't like the way it went at all. So I guess it's kind of a mix, but I also have my in-laws arriving tomorrow. So they'll be here for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And I've been on campus all week for meetings, so I haven't really started prepping any of my courses. It's going to be a long weekend.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those myself. I have 2 new preps this term, and I've had a couple weekends. Like, I try and prep during the week, but I'm busy with other stuff, too. So I've had a couple long weekends where I have to, you know, prep all day Saturday so that I can post notes Sunday morning. I do, like, a note outline that the students have to print off, and then they bring in class, and we fill it in together. So I have to get that ready and post that. So they post that sometime Sunday so they can print it off Monday, because I have a Monday 8:05 class.
That's what I do, too. I do the note, the outlines that we fill in. But our students, not all of them have internet, so I always have to make sure I get them to the copy center early enough to bring copies with me.
Wow.
Because they don't all have computers, they don't all have internet, they don't all have access to those things, so I have to actually bring hard copies to class.
Oh, wow. How big are your classes?
Not that big. I have 30 students per class.
That's not too bad.
Although, I
can make copies.
When you're grading 16-page exams for 60 students, it takes a while.
Yeah, that.
And I also give homework every night that I collect, so I end up grading, you know, 180 students' homeworks every, you know, 3 times a week.
Yeah, the grading part, that's still plenty of work, but at least in terms of making copies, it's not that many.
No, I submit it. We have online submissions, so I just submit it to the copy center when I finish it, and then it shows up in my mailbox the next day.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard me come in, but I'm here.
Hi.
No.
Hello.
Hello. How are your classes?
You know how to tear quizzes away from students is, so.
Oh, yeah. So we haven't really been talking about too much. I wanted to make sure Tara had seen my email with my version of the abstract and then your response to that. And then we also talked about, just for like a second, about the analyses she sent through today with like the group 2 and the group 3 people, or the category 2 and the category 3 people, based on the document I had sent out yesterday. That is what you've missed so far.
We're already recording, by the way, just so you know.
It
just so you don't think we're not recording.
It did actually tell me when I came in, this conference is being recorded, that way I would know what to say and what not to say.
So, Jackie, I did get your comment back then, and I agree with you that I was actually concerned a little bit about that part, too, since we'd never technically asked them to assess the quality of the sampling explicitly. I don't know if there's a good way to tweak that, though. I haven't put much thought into that.
Can we just take that part out and say that we ask them to assess the validity of the conclusion in the hope that they would recognize the sampling, or with the expectation that they would say something about sampling? But obviously, it's not the way we would word it, but something like that.
I mean, and there we might be able to even add to about, you know, they were asked to, you know, have the validity of the conclusion, and we gave them both good and bad sampling methods. That way we still didn't, you know, we gave them a random sample sometimes and we didn't others, but we didn't want to explicitly say it, because, I mean, otherwise I do think that would have caused problems more for us. You know, if you literally come out and say, what do you think about how the sample was chosen, then it's forcing them to look at it. And so, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing that we didn't do it. And so we could say something instead about a both bad and good.
Yeah. Say to evaluate. I would say, random and biased, again, rather than bad and good. So say something like students were asked to evaluate the validity of a study's, the validity of conclusions from a study or from a variety of studies, some of which use random sampling techniques, some of which use biased sampling techniques.
Yeah, it's like somehow that line that we actually get to say that, they were given good and bad, so they should be looking at that. But
yeah.
We didn't explicitly tell them to look at it.
So students were asked to present the validity of a conclusion when presented with random and biased samples, studies that used random and biased samples.
Yeah.
Because we have words, right? You said you were 168.
Yeah, we've got space.
Do you know APA format for the abstract? It said it had to be in APA format.
God, I don't think there's actually really that much. I think, I would Google it to double check, but I'm pretty sure the abstract is basically just what we have. Like, we might just need to make it Times New Roman 12-point font. Something
okay, because
like
they seem to indicate that there was, something to make sure you checked to make sure your abstract was in APA format. And I remember when I was doing all my education classes, there was a lot that you had to make sure you were keeping track of when you're using APA. But
yeah.
That was a while ago, and I don't.
I think that's more in the inline references and the citations at the end of the paper, as opposed to the abstract itself. The abstract, and it's stuff like titles and section headings and all of that, but I think when you're just looking at the abstracts, we're fine. I don't think there's anything really that special about APA formatting for that. And I did look one day at the particular journal and found that's where I got the number, the 150 to the 200 for the word limit. That was for the particular journal. So I think we're fine.
Okay.
So if we make that small tweak to that one sentence, is there anything else that we need to change or add or take away from that?
I mean, I guess I could say the only thing that I'm concerned for them, and when we know our own stuff, I think it's easier to read between the lines. So the only part that I was looking at where it says that no more than 36%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's clear from just that we're looking at three different questions maybe, or – but I don't mean if we combine them all together it was no more than 36% or individual questions. I'm not – from that I'm scared we might get something of how did we break it down
mm-hmm.
get that number. I mean, without explicitly coming out, because it's supposed to be just an abstract, I'm not sure of how to make it more explicit, but that was the only thing else that I read, and they might question where that number came from.
Yeah.
I don't know, no more than 36% of their written responses on the differing or the varying context or something like that.
I think originally it said for each scenario. But since we don't reference the scenarios anywhere else.
Yeah. we could, well, we could just leave it the way it is, and then if that's the sort of thing that piques someone's interest, you know, we could say, well, we'll be describing that in the results section of the paper. We could also just delete the actual specific numbers and just say there was little evidence of confirmation bias in the students' written responses, but there was significantly more evidence. I mean, we could just say there, I think we could call that significant, even though we didn't do formal significance testing. But we could say, you know, there was substantially more evidence of confirmation bias in the interviews. So remove the numbers and just kind of give it qualitative labels, essentially.
That might be better.
My one concern I have is, does this imply that we did interviews with 279 students? The way that it's written right now, does that imply that? If you were reading that as somebody who didn't participate in the study, would you think, oh, they have written responses from 279 students and they interviewed 279 students?
Yeah. I'm sure most people would know that wasn't possible, but I think that would be easy to clarify, where we could just say it's written responses on exams, written responses from all students on their exam, from their exam, and an one-on-one interviews with a subset of students, with a smaller group of students, something like that. The other thing we could do is we could combine the sentence with the sample size with the sentence about the data collection. So we could say data collection included written responses to exam questions for 279 students, as well as one-on-one, as well as oral responses from interviews with, and then include the sample size there, whether it's like 14 or 12 or something like that, students across four colleges. That way we get the sample size for the interviews in there as well.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
And that will give us more words.
Yes,
I mean, more space if we need more words.
The first time I wrote the abstract, it was 146 words. And I thought it was funny that the way the journal put it, it said, you know, 150 to 200 words. I'm like, do you really have to have a minimum of 150 words? So I went back in and made one of the sentences longer.
I don't know how you got that 146 words. I was well over 200, and I wasn't even done when I sent the rest off. I was like,
yeah.
I was like,
you can see I stripped away a lot of the detail, because I just felt reading it, like, I thought you had done a good job trying to describe it in few words, but I think that's really just an impossible task. Like, I think it's better to give pretty much no description of the methodology rather than to try and describe the methodology in a few words, because what we did was so, it seemed so complicated. So that's how I got it under, was I really just, I excluded all of the detail about methodology, and that took care of a lot of the words. But, all right, so does anyone happen to be typing while we're talking? I am not.
I was writing on a piece of paper. I wasn't typing.
Okay. Do you want to try and make those changes then to the abstract real quick and send that out for approval from people?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to my phone when I go close to my computer. Just to warn you.
Okay.
That just sounds stupid. Real quickly, where did they tell you the limit, word limit?
I Googled the journal and found, like, the publishing company. It was, like, the submission site instructions for authors, and there were some details. I can't remember exactly where it was now. I had to look for a minute for it. But basically, like, if you go to kind of guidelines for authors, like there's some submission detail, something like that.
Okay, because I don't want to put a rain on our parade. I thought you had something attached to the one thing, so I'm looking at is an email from you, Herla, on July 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Attached APA abstract advice kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, be as brief as possible. Abstract should not exceed 120 words.
I know the journal is something
else. Are they
going to
be horribly picky?
I don't know. I can always email Arthur, who is the person we would send the abstract to, and clarify that with him. But I know the journal said 150 to 200.
Okay. I was just making sure. I didn't want to rain on our parade. I was like, oh, 120, what?
Yeah.
Do you think they're changing it for the special edition, that what they're expecting to read when you submit it? Like, is
I don't
it
know.
A specific thing that the, you know, the conference people put in? Like some limit that they decided on?
I don't know. And to be honest, I don't know if I've looked at the document that Jackie's talking about, or at least it's been a very long time, so I don't remember really anything about it. So I don't know if that was a conference thing or a very general thing. Because there's a chance it could just be really general, and then there may be some APA journals that are 120, whereas this journal gives you a little bit more. Or it could have been conferencing. I'm not really sure. And I'm actually not in front of a computer with email just this second to check it.
Well, I'm not sure how picky they're going to be. Like, oh, goodness, that's 10 extra words. Nope, we're not going to look at it.
I think for this, they wouldn't. This is kind of a first round of what's interesting or not. And so I think they would come back and say, this looks really interesting, but you have to turn the abstract before you go to the second round. This is not, I mean, that's one of the benefits of it being, I think, a special edition, is it's not just the giant peer-reviewed process. It's something a little bit, the first round is something a little bit smaller.
Yeah, like I said, if it was our abstract for actual publication, we'd probably be much more picky about the word length.
Yeah,
or
I think we're okay.
Or just a test run.
Yeah.
I'm coming. I'm almost done.
Okay. Now, I guess the next question is, if this thing actually does get accepted, can we write a paper before December 1st?
Before when?
Isn't it December 1st? When we were talking the other day, isn't that when the rough draft of the paper was due?
I'll pull it up again here real quick, see if it says here. Yes.
What did we say? There was little evidence of confirmation bias in the written responses, but there was a, were we going to use significant?
I would use substantial. I wouldn't use significant just because that has such a special meaning in statistics, and I don't mean it as, like, p-value less than 0.05. I would say substantial.
That would affect it, too. There was a substantial
increase in... I would say there was substantially more evidence of confirmation bias.
Is that a correct grammar? There was substantially more?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
Well, it says on here that they'll invite about 7 groups to submit full papers by the 1st of December.
Yeah.
And then full papers will be about 7,000 words long.
Say that again, Jackie.
So they're due December 1st, and they're supposed to be around 7,000 words.
How many pages is that?
14, I would guess. I go about 500 words per page in my mind.
All right, I haven't finished. I'm just reading through it one more time, and then I'll send it.
So I would think if we did get accepted for this. Somehow, miraculously, they want us. I think that'd be enough fire under our butts to get it done.
Which
but
is
I think
important
right now,
for you,
you know,
right?
It's like right now we're stalling. No offense to all of us, but we are. We're kind of stalling.
Yeah.
And we're not because we got all those presentations done. So there's always something about when you have something coming up that just makes you work harder.
Yeah.
And so even if we didn't get accepted for this, yes, I have the fire burning under my butt to get stuff published. So I would still like us, even if we don't get accepted for this, to start writing for JSE.
Yeah.
I don't know how you all feel about how much you actually want to start writing. And
okay, it's on its way.
Thank you.
I didn't check words, so I guess I should probably do that.
I just got it.
I'll try refreshing again. I don't yet. And you did reply all and not just to Hurla, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure while I'm hitting the send receive button here.
It's 169 words.
That's not bad. There it is.
Would indicate a worst-case scenario for educators?
Well, that was my, in my mind, the idea is if confirmation, if on a testing situation, they're still defaulting to kind of confirmation bias, if their reasoning is driven by confirmation bias as opposed to statistical concepts, then that is pretty bad. That indicates that confirmation bias is pretty persuasive.
Do we have more than 14, or is the 14 just yours, Tara?
I have 11. How many did you have?
Yeah, I had 4.
Okay. And or no, I had 12. Wow. So it's 17. Yeah, is that wrong? 17.
Well, I'm just thinking the more we can beef up that number that's actually honest, the better.
The what?
So the higher the number that's actually still being honest, the better. So that's why I was like, for some reason, 14 versus 18, 18 will seem better. I don't know why, but.
We can change this to 17. Curly, you did one, right?
I did one, but I wouldn't even include that, to be honest, because I don't have the transcript, and, she didn't really say much.
Did you read my transcript?
Yeah, I actually did look at your transcripts a little bit, but I don't even have, like, exact transcripts.
Wait, did you read the one, where is it, the third one?
I read through most of them. I don't remember, though, specifically that one.
The one that ended with just being me. I don't trust statistics. I didn't trust that.
Yeah, I did. I did do that.
She came in class telling me that she learned in high school that statistics was bullshit and that I wasn't going to teach her anything.
Nice.
And this was the last day of class she did this. I'm like, clearly you got nothing out of my class.
Nice.
No, my students didn't say much either. I think most of those were 2 or 3 minutes long. So we want to go with...
I'm wondering if we should delete that sentence, though, about the worst case scenario, because... I think part of it's in the wrong place. I put it in there because I was trying to communicate that the lack of confirmation bias in the testing situation was actually good. But it's actually, I don't think it's entirely accurate to say if confirmation bias is found in this population, because the population is just college students, and we did find confirmation bias with the students in the interviews. I would delete that sentence, and I don't know if there's a better way to work that in farther down or not.
I don't know that we need it, because you added the sentence to say the results indicate that it's overriding confirmation bias in a faking environment. Maybe we could say there, which is... I think you... Education.
You're starting to cut out a little, Tara, so I missed most of that.
Sorry. I think you addressed with the 3 sentences at the end the impact on education.
Okay. So then let's delete that sentence.
That'll pull closer to 120, too, in case that really is the limit.
Yeah, that brings us to 146, based on my count.
Well, and we could even add that, I mean, if you wanted it there, we could do something like that there was little evidence of confirmation bias in the written exam responses, which is probably good. I mean, like, doing something like that, because you wouldn't expect it there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think maybe having the word exam there might be good. I don't know about you all.
Where
it has there was little evidence of confirmation bias in the written responses, but maybe it's saying in the written exam responses.
In the written exam responses?
Yeah, because I mean, I think it's important that it's not just the fact that it was written. I think it was also that it might have been the exam environment.
Actually, that would be a good lead into the sentence that then says these results indicate that in the test-taking environment, they might wonder where the test-taking environment came from. That's a good idea.
Well, it does say in the beginning that we have written responses on exams.
It does?
Yeah, it says data collection sentence.
Right, it does.
Okay. This is what happens when I only read one sentence at a time.
Yeah, I think that we addressed the sign at the bottom with respect to the impact on education. If you want, you can do these results indicate that as one would hope, statistical reasoning seems to override confirmation bias in a test-taking environment. Or as one would expect. Although I don't know that's what we necessarily expected.
I would put as one would hope if we were going to put anything.
I don't know that we need anything, though.
Jackie, what do you think?
I mean, I think for this, especially since I think we all agree that you know, if all you did was publish papers that always were significant, life would be boring. But I don't think we have to always put so much our motivation there. So I think not having to put anything about as one would hope, it's just this is what we see. And in the actual paper, we could talk more about, you know, your worst-case scenario. I mean, if we see it here, then it's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that we don't see it here doesn't mean it's not. I don't know if that even makes any sense, what I just said. But... like, you would hope that on a test that they wouldn't have their opinion drive them. But what happens when they walk out our door, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm fine just taking it out and leaving it out.
We can save that sentence for if we actually get asked for a paper. Or for our paper, we write for JSE.
Yeah. So is this what I'm submitting then? Changing the number of the one-on-one interviews to 17?
16.
16. Okay.
I missed one of Jackie's and one of mine when I did that.
So is this what I'm submitting then?
Sounds good to me.
Does it have references too? Or no?
For this? I don't think so.
For some reason, there was something, and I may be getting it confused with the other one. I thought one, we had to submit an abstract and references. But it may be the other one.
I think that's the Korean thing.
Okay. They're all just kind of running together at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, when you read that long thing that they sent about how to write an abstract, I mean, considering how to write an abstract takes 9 pages to explain, that's kind of sad. I mean, it does say something about references in there, but generally you don't put a lot of references in abstract, do you?
I've never done it before, but there was something that we read that said we had to submit references with it, but Hurl is right. It probably is the Korean one.
Like, I'm sure, like, if you referenced your own previous research or something like that, really more specifically, we'd want to say something.
No, well, I think if anything, I've seen it the other way, that abstracts should not contain references. I think the Korean one was something different.
I think it was like 1,600 words or something. Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm still here.
I'm getting one bar, so I'm wondering.
So, so am I going ahead and submitting this then?
Sure.
You sound nervous about it. Are you scared about it?
No, I'm sorry, I'm reading at the same time,
okay.
So I'm distracted, it's not
like,
nervous,
do I really have
distracted.
To submit this thing?
No, I was pulling up, I went back, I now am in front of a computer with internet, so I went back and pulled up the APA recommendation thing, and yeah, I think this is just general. About the not exceeding 120 words. So I double-checked on the website for the journal, and it said 150 to 200 words. And so I think we're fine with what we have.
Aren't we under 150?
Yeah, we are, but I think we'll still be okay with that because we're at 146. So, again, I don't think 4 words under, they're going to be like, no, I'm sorry, this is no good. So I think we're fine.
Well, I was just pulling up the call for papers, but was also the thing you attached. And it says, like, the kinds of questions we suggest to address in this special issue include, how does reasoning about samples and sampling develop in the context of learning to make informal inferences? So I think ours is perfect for that.
So should we try and work that in?
I know, but...
Should we try and work that into... the abstract somehow.
I mean, do we say something about reasoning about samples? I mean, that's what's kind of one of our goals. We said that a lot, I know. I'm not sure if it's in a specific one. We could say to assess and reason through or something. I don't know.
Just so you guys know, we have to be off in 5 minutes. Gene said we had to be off by 3:45.
Right.
I almost feel like I think without explicitly having to say it, we've sort of said it.
Well, that works too. As long as
you know what I mean? Like in the first couple
idea.
Sentences, you know, like that our goal is to see how students assess the validity based upon random and biased samples. What do you think? And of course, I mean both of you.
I don't think it hurts. Sorry, Carla, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I wasn't going to say something really important, so go ahead and...
Neither was I. I was going to say, I don't think it hurts to explicitly state it, but I think if we strongly implied it, that it's not necessary.
What if we were to say something about the goal of the current study is to look for evidence of this bias in students' reasoning about samples and sampling, specifically when students are asked to assess the validity of a conclusion from a study that used either random or biased, either a random or biased sampling method?
I think you'd have to break it into two sentences. That's a big long.
Yeah, I think it would be period specifically.
That's good. I mean, it addresses it more specifically.
Okay. I'll make that tweak, send it out to you guys, and then I'll send that out within the next 5 minutes or so, and then once I get an email back okay from each of you, I will submit it.
Works for me.
Sound good? All right. Awesome.
And then I think it would be best to wait to go any further with anything until we can get Lee back. Do you guys both agree?
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I don't want to pressure her to come back. So, I mean, I can only imagine what she's going through, so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how soon are we supposed to hear back from this? I don't remember seeing that on there for some odd reason.
I don't remember either. We probably what we should do if we were smart is we should just start writing the paper, you know, pretend that we got accepted and that it's due December 1st and just start writing it. So before we even hear back.
Okay.
Do we want to do any more data analysis? Or do we just want to write up all the analysis that we have? The reason I'm asking is because my SAS license is about to expire,
yeah.
And I'm not taking any courses this semester, so I'll need to submit a form to get a permission to have a license renewed on my machine.
As a random question, have you tried ever SAS Enterprise?
Yeah.
Because I have an Enterprise guide, and I can download it for free because I'm an academic.
Yeah, I mean, I use Enterprise Guide, too. I like the base apps better personally, because I like to do the programming in that.
Well,
I mean,
you're actually using this Enterprise Guide for our SAS programming class, because you can actually still program in it, so that's why.
Right, yeah, I've programmed in it also. I'm just more comfortable in the old one. I mean, we had to use Enterprise Guide for the class I took last spring, and we have to use it for data mining. But, yeah, I actually have a free version of it also, I think, on my PC from my course from last spring.
Yeah. I think we're probably good in terms of analyses for now. And then if it comes down to us needing more, I have access to SAS through my job. And I can see about either getting you a copy or just, you know, I can start doing the programming. You know, kind of take what you have and work with it, so.
And I'll have access again in the spring. I'm just not taking anything since I'm teaching all those courses. I didn't think it was prudent to take any.
Yeah.
So, and I can probably get my license renewed before spring if I needed to also. Or it may not stop working. Last time it didn't stop working. It kept working for another few months after, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I used to set the date back on my computer so I could actually use Ask for a while.
All right, we should probably sign off so that, because I promised Jean that we'd be done. So.
All right, I will type this up and send this out to you guys to look for this within the next 5 minutes or so.
Okay, thanks, Carla.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.